Beardster.
Yeah.
Did I wake you from your slumber?
Dude, I'm gonna do this from the pleasures of my couch.
Your audio actually sounds pretty good.
Does it?
Yeah.
Like sexual good or
yeah.
just like,
well yeah, that's what good. I meant.
Because that's all I really care about.
Well, that's all that's really important on this podcast. Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. We've assembled the full Cultcast news team today. I'm here with L. Caney himself. Leander, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Erfan.
Thanks for being promptly on time.
I apologize for that.
We've got Buster Heine here as well. Hey, Buster.
Hey.
Oh, the gap gets longer.
Alex E. Excelsior Heath has joined us for the show. Friggin' Aliens, welcome to the show, Alex.
Hello, Erfan.
And boy, you know, normally our show, I say, was probably borderline mediocre, but this show is going to be great. We've got some exciting announcements. But as many of you know who follow me on Twitter, at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N, I've been asking for shout-outs, and I said if you put a hashtag cultcast shout in your tweet and sent it to me, I would try to work you into the show with a shout out. So let's start with some of those. We actually received a whole truckload. So I'm not going to be able to get through all of them, but through the magic of editing, I'm going to insert some music here. You guys like that tune?
What?
The music? You can't hear it?
I mean, the one you're going to add afterwards by the magic of editing.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So let's do some shout outs to that wonderful tune we're all listening to and enjoying. We've got Christian from Marburg, Germany. He said something about Cultcast shout out, y'all. We've got Cian from Bavaria, but actually from Ireland. I'm not sure what that means, but those are the places he's from. We've got Joey Levin and Jack Wankselbaum. Wow, I like that last name. And they both said the same thing. They remember when the Cultcast actually used to be 30 minutes. I remember those days. We've got Kevin Walsh from Oak Forest, Illinois. Nick Falovolita from Burlington, Ontario. Reese Grundy from the UK. Peter Cochran from Coleraine, Northern Ireland. Wow. Jess from the UK. And Jess challenged us to not say more than three ums in this show. Do you guys think that we'll be able to do that?
No.
I'm gonna give it my best try. We got Ferry Manders from the Netherlands, Jonathan Spinel and his wife Bethany. Oh, he makes his wife listen to the show?
Ew.
What a jerk. We got Reagan and his I wrote his brand, Jesse. Oh, his brother. Apparently that's what I meant. Darren Griffin from the UK, Red and his girlfriend, because Red didn't want to tell me what his girlfriend's name. Smart move, Red. We've got Les Field, because he just had his birthday and we apparently missed it. And Joe Fisher, because Joe said if we didn't give him one, he was going to kidnap you, Buster.
I'm cool with that. And as long as he's got burritos, that's all I want.
He said he was going to alien probe your rear.
I'm okay with that, too. I'm from Boston, Mexico.
Yeah, he's like, I've gotten probed several times already. Actually, he didn't say that. I had added that in.
Oh, okay.
Is he either going to do the probing?
What's that?
Is it you that's going to do the probing?
No.
Whoever does the probing, I'm
maybe.
Cool with.
Buster has no preference. As long as there's a probe, he doesn't care who does it. Hey, if you want a Cultcast shout-out, make sure you tweet at me. I'm at Erfan. And put the hashtag Cultcast shout, because that's how I find you before we do the show. Thanks, everyone, for sending those in. Let's do some announcements, guys. We've got two special ones, and I mentioned this on Facebook and also on Twitter. The first one, we're going to be at CES in January, 3 weeks away. And Leander, Buster, you may not know this, but we're going to be doing a meet and greet.
Are we?
Yeah. This is news to you guys, right?
Is so, it going to be signed?
We do it on a roller coaster, though.
That would be great. I don't know if we have roller coasters in Vegas.
Yeah, they do. Tons of them.
You could get so inebriated that you feel like you're on a roller coaster.
All right.
Will you be signing like babies' heads and like and stuff like that?
I'm hoping that it might be like breasts.
Yeah, like, I figure you would.
Probably men's breasts.
Yeah. Yeah, moves. Side by cleavage. All right, squish them.
So we haven't decided where we're going to do it yet, but we are going to be there. So if you're going to be at CS and you want to meet us, Team Cultcast, that would be amazing. I will guarantee you that Leander will hold your hand if you meet up with us. And another special announcement. And, you know, I think this might be one that Chris Walken is going to be excited about.
Oh?
We have just hit 1 million downloads.
Bazinga! More downloads.
So our episodes have been downloaded over 1 million times now, which... It's just mind blowing. You know, we started
Thank
you
to
this
the one person that downloaded the show 1 million times.
Between all of our mothers, it's probably been downloaded 800,000 times, and then our actual listeners took over for the other 200,000. But that is just astounding. Leander, what do you have to say about it?
That's a great number. Yeah, 1 million is always a good number. As long as that translated into dollars, even pennies, I would say.
You guys aren't making a lot of money doing this? I am.
You what?
Yeah, oh, we can talk about that after the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I mean, it's a big number. I mean, it's always a big number. It is a big number.
Well, it's a gold record. You know, like, if you make an album, you know, it's a gold record. That's huge. And just to think that, you know, the Peeing Man of episodes that we have been downloaded, you know, over 1 million times. It's just crazy. I never thought anything I did would get 1 million anything. Maybe a million kicks in the crotch.
Wait, so does that mean...
What does that mean?
Well, like, is that 1 million just so for every episode? We should, like all of them together?
Yeah, so that's aggregate, all of them together.
That's not unique, but... Yeah,
yeah, that's definitely awesome. Not unique, but still, you know, a major milestone from us. Hey, and you know,
that's over 48 episodes, though, so that's good, man.
Yeah, it's great, and that's not even counting all the episodes. Some of them I didn't count just because they're kind of like, you know, short or whatever. So, yeah, it's awesome, and I just want to thank everyone who has been listening to the show. You know, when I was going through the shout outs, I actually saw quite a few people who had been listening since day one. Amazingly.
They're still with us. You should do a special shout out to those guys.
Yeah, no kidding. I should just do a special shout out just for them. But the only problem is that you never know if they're lying. They're like, oh yeah, I've been listening since episode one. You're like, dude, you're lying.
Yeah, and if you guys love the show and you haven't left a review on iTunes yet, everybody should do that. Because we had a lot going there for a while, and it's kind of gotten quiet. But the reviews really help as far as getting us exposed on iTunes.
Thank you. That's a really good point. So actually, we have a really good rating, even though our show is awful, as you can tell. We have a 4.5-star rating on iTunes, which is really good. I mean, you can go look at some popular podcasts that are bigger than ours, and they don't have such a high rating. So if you love our show, please go on to iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating. If you don't love our show, you know, no need to rate it.
but hey, remember how we're like the best new tech podcast for the UK App Store today?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we were?
Well, yeah, that happened.
What's up, UK?
I feel like we owe Leander thanks for that.
Yeah, didn't make the US cut, but we got the UK.
So, Buster, I was actually going to ask you about that. Before we actually move on to our Apple stories this week, you said that they had chosen the best podcast for 2012.
Yeah.
And was that like the iTunes team that had chosen it? And
every year Apple releases like their best of list, like best apps. And they also have, you know, music as well. I think 2 Chainz had the best rap song this year. FYI.
Okay. Well, now I don't feel so bad.
And so for podcasts, who'd they choose? It was they chose the best new ones are like Before You Buy. That's a Twit podcast, and then John Gruber's talk show, and then Amplified with Jim Dalrymple. So, you know, all of
that. Here's the weird thing. I saw that thing that you tweeted at me, and I feel like the ones they chose aren't new.
I don't know if Amplified. I think Amplified is new. I'm okay. Not sure if the talk show is though.
Amplified is new. Talk show's been around for years.
But I mean, that's, you know, it's like it's Gruber's, so it's of course he won.
Okay, well, here's probably what happened with that one. The talk show used to be a 5x5 podcast.
Oh, really?
I don't know what happened there, but now it's independent, and Dan Benjamin of 5x5 is no longer on it, so maybe they count it as new again.
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah, you're right. That's totally what happened.
So when we fire you, why don't we fire you and we'll get a new podcast?
Yeah.
Well, if we all get fired, our podcast has a chance of being at the top.
Yeah, all new. Plus, we should put it to 3 hours and start talking about everything but.
That's most of them do. So.
Arguably, this is the best part of the podcast, because once we start talking about Apple stuff,
just gets boring.
It just gets worse.
It's like, ugh.
Okay. But speaking of getting worse, let's do that right now. So let's talk about the big news of the week. Google Maps finally hits iOS. I downloaded it last night after I saw Alex's post about it. Alex, would you mind telling us a little bit about it? First impressions, that type of thing?
I like it. I think it's got some cool things. It's a little more. It's a little confusing. Like it's got the Google feel to it.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just not my like, because you know the other one was actually designed by Apple, so it kind of had a very simplistic Apple look. But this one's got kind of like the sidebars. I don't really get the spacing on that, and there's just some weird. I can get. You may not get lost in the map, but you might get lost in the app. So, it's nice. It's clean. I like some of the stuff. They've got like inertia zooming and stuff. That's kind of cool, but. I'm going to stick with Apple's Maps because I just haven't had that much trouble with it. And this honestly, you know, Siri works with Apple's Maps and it doesn't work with this. So, you know, this is nice. But if I ever get lost, I'll use this. But I'm going to stick with Apple Maps for right now.
Buster, Leander, have you guys actually used Maps to navigate anywhere yet?
Google
Maps?
I'm sorry. Google Maps. Yeah.
I mean, I haven't gotten anywhere since I've downloaded it last night.
You didn't use it to navigate to your kitchen?
I didn't. I mean, it's pretty good at it.
And they had a street view.
I mean, I actually really like it. It's even better than the old app.
You think so?
Yeah, I do think so.
I mean, it's got the turn by turn, which is nice, which makes it better.
Which
but
that's in beta, by the way, we should probably mention, which is weird to me.
Well, everything Google does is in beta, but... but I mean, I'm not saying I don't like it, Buster, but I'm just saying you like it better than the Apple design of the old Maps app.
Yeah, I do. I think it's better than the old Maps app. I'm not saying the design is better than Apple Maps, but I do think it's better than the old Google Maps.
I do think Apple Maps looks amazing, whether
I do,
it works.
Yeah, I think that too.
That's the thing. If I go back, like I tried TomTom the other day, which I'd had forever and I used to use, but I opened it up the other day and it just hurt my eyes. It was gross.
Right.
You know, I couldn't even look at it. I closed it immediately. Can't use it. It's horrible. Ugly.
I mean, Apple Maps is the prettiest one, but Google Maps, as far as like looks, it's not that far behind. And I mean, data wise, it's, you know, of course better. Of course.
Yeah.
Dude. Guys, give me just a sec here. We got to pause. My dog is going berserk upstairs. And I don't know what is going on, but we just got this new dog, and she's going insane. Just give me 2 seconds. I'm going to see
bring it down. Ask her what she thinks of Google Maps.
Okay. BRB. Okay, sorry about that. We're back. My dog is now back to being sane. And we're talking about Google Maps. And Leander, I did ask my dog what she thought about Google Maps, and she pondered for a second. She's like, it's rough.
Oh my goodness.
Oh boy. So let's talk about some of the new features, because I feel like we should specifically call those out. So we're getting navigation, as Alex mentioned. You can get turn by turn driving directions, I should say. And do we have Street View in the last Google Maps? I don't feel like we did.
No,
I didn't think so.
Street View?
Yeah, in the last Google Maps.
Street View in the last Google Maps.
Oh, I never actually used that feature.
Yeah, okay. In the stock one we did. I thought he was talking about the. Yeah, no, Apple Maps doesn't have that, but Google does.
Google does. Okay, and I know that the tiles that they use in this app, I thought they were vector, but they're not, are they? They're just regular raster images. Do you guys know for sure?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay. I read Pogue's review said it was Vector.
Oh, really? It looks Vector. Because, the UI looks way better than it used to. And I know one of the things that you can do in the new Google Maps is a feature that I actually really love about Apple's Maps, too, is that you can touch it and, like, navigate with your fingers the direction that the maps are pointing. Because you couldn't originally do that in Google Maps, could you?
Yes, you could.
Really?
Sorry. All right.
This just in, I didn't use the old Google Maps that often. So the big feature, of course, though, is that it actually gets you to where you're going.
And it's got public transit and walking directions.
And it's got, exactly. Yeah, it's got all that great stuff.
That's pretty important if you live in a big city.
Yeah.
Although, guys, have you guys seen the transit app in the App Store? There's this new transit app that looks like it was designed by Apple. I mean, I don't know. I don't use transit, public transit, but I don't know if you have the app. It's just called Transit in the App Store. It's got a green icon, and the interface is fantastic. It's way better than anything built into another app. But
if it's more feature rich than?
Yeah, it is. It's constantly updating, and it's perfect for if you live with public transit every day. So check that out in the App Store, everyone.
One of the last things I want to say about Google Maps before we move on is: do you guys notice when you're playing around with it, it's just not. It's not as smooth as Apple Maps is. I mean, Apple Maps, when it works, is awesome, obviously, but it's having a lot of problems actually getting you to where you're going. But like the navigations, the turn-by-turn instructions, like the 3D animations that it shows you when you're taking corners and stuff are really super smooth. And I found the Google Maps app to be really kind of sluggish. Tumbleweeds, anyone?
Do you think it's sluggish, the new Google Maps is?
Yeah, no, like it just didn't operate very well.
No, I don't think so.
You weren't having that problem?
Nope.
Okay. Well, hey, you should download the Google Maps app. It's, of course, free. And to answer probably a lot of people's questions, you cannot make it your default app. Default app map. Map app. Thank you, Gavna. So go check it out. Hey, let's talk about another bit of news that people have been asking us about because it actually kind of is relevant to our show. Apple has trademarked that signature startup sound. When you start your Mac, it goes bum. It's a chord, and it's like a few cents lower than a G flat. And I don't know how they pulled this off, but Apple now owns a trademark on that chord. And people were like, are you guys going to be pulling it out of your show because Apple has trademarked it now? Now, at first, when I heard this news, I was like, okay, we're going to have to pull it out, obviously, right? But I would imagine it's only relevant to the startup sounds for computers. And that's just a guess because they can't trademark a chord. I mean, that'd be like contacting musicians in iTunes and being like, oh, hey, you know that chord you used? Like we own that now. We own the G flat chord.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. Trademarks are like for certain areas, you know. What was there, like with Retina? They, you know, Apple has Retina trademarked as well, but that's only for displays and everything. So, it probably is only pertaining to like startup sounds or computer stuff like that.
Okay.
I would guess. I'm not a lawyer.
I thought you were an attorney.
I mean, I'm taking the bar next week.
Oh, you mean my trial where you're representing me? You're a real lawyer? What?
Oh, Andrew's going to prison.
isn't it more processed, though? It's not just a raw chord. It's being manipulated, right? So it's a distinct sound.
It is, yeah, and it's not an actual G flat chord. It's a little bit more flat than a G flat chord.
Yeah, right.
So
I mean,
it's not like an actual musical chord.
You know, it's that distinctive sound. It's and of course it's going to be it's the way the logo the Apple logo is in it's in the same way the Apple logo is white, right? They haven't trademarked white. They've trademarked white in a particular Apple like shape.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
So I think the same with the sound here, maybe a G flat, but it's distinctively the sound of the Apple.
Well, hey, speaking of distinctively the sound of an Apple, so on my other podcast, User Friendly, you can search for in iTunes right now. We were actually talking about the same topic, and we played a video of all the different Apple startup sounds, and I have it right here. You guys want to hear it? It's like 20 seconds long. It's like the history of Apple sounds. Well, startup sounds. Grab some popcorn, Leander. Gotta lower it a little bit for that last one. So isn't that interesting? Like the last three were almost identical. They just lowered the pitch a little bit. And my friend was saying that it reminded him of a Beatles song, and he played it for me. I forget which Beatles song it was. At the very end, they play this chord, and it sounds exactly like the new startup sound for Macs. And he was saying that, you know, his theory was that because Steve Jobs was a huge Beatles fan, that he thinks that's where they got like the idea for the sound. Doesn't that actually kind of make a lot of sense?
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, it totally sounds plausible. I guess it's got Apple Corp, so it should be suing Apple Inc., right?
Yeah, they really should.
I was like, it's Steve Jobs' ultimate revenge from the grave, from that lawsuit that was ongoing for like 30 years. Is that they finally trademarked the sound that the Beatles had created like 40 years ago, and now the Beatles are going to have to like pay Apple every time they play that
song. Every time Boots on the theory.
Let's talk about some other apps. We got a new Twitter app this week, and we got a new Flickr app this week. And the reason I bring those both up together is because this is kind of weird. So Instagram is not allowing their photos to be to show up on Twitter anymore. So now Twitter went... Yeah.
The links, you can still share from the app, and it'll push the links up, but you won't get the card view where you can see a preview
like
of the
preview,
photo.
Like the preview, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So in response, Twitter gave you a new app with the ability to add filters to your photos that you can take within the app, and you can do some light editing of the photos too. And then Flickr from the grave has arisen with a new app. I can't, when was the last time Flickr updated their app? Probably 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And now they're giving you the ability to take photos and upload those. So I guess they're trying to compete with Instagram. Have you guys used the filters for Twitter?
I mean, I've played around with it.
Mm-hmm.
I usually don't use the filters on Instagram either.
Oh, you don't?
I usually use Snapseed and then post it up into Instagram.
Oh, that's a hot tip, because Buster, your photos always look good, and I was wondering what you were using to edit those.
Oh, dude, I do all kinds of crazy stuff.
Oh, so that's just one of your strategies.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, a couple of them, but the Twitter filter is just, they're really not that great, and I've seen that from a lot of other really popular Instagram photographers. They're just like, you know, it's just not that as good as compared to Instagram.
Mm-hmm. It kind of seems too little too late.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, definitely.
And what about the Flickr app? Have any of you guys played around with it yet? I only did briefly.
I haven't, but I really want to get into it because, you know, I wish Flickr would make a comeback.
Do you? I mean,
kind of.
I do like Flickr. So, but it just seems so strange that they're now all of a sudden releasing an app after, you know, 3 years of being in total obscurity and letting Instagram eat their lunch. I mean, because the idea of Instagram should have been Flickr's, right?
Well, it's still a giant, and it's actually got some really good communities on there.
Oh yeah,
some great groups. You know, it's a great way to look at you know, sort of group photographs.
I mean, if you like anything, when we do galleries and stuff, we get so many pictures from Flickr from anything that was like older than 3 years ago, but for the last 3 years, it's actually kind of, it's gone downhill way bad. But if you're looking for something older, you know, you can get all kinds of crap off of Flickr. It's awesome.
Yeah, Flickr is definitely useful for that, and this is only going to increase the amount of images that get posted there. You're right, Leander, they still do have a really active community. I mean, they're like kind of like
It's more for serious photographers, I think. Although you guys were talking about 500 pics, right?
I think 500 pics is now more for serious photographers.
Oh, yeah. 500 pics is like the
highest. That's 500px.com for anyone that hasn't heard of it.
for 500 picks, it just has like the highest quality. So usually what photographers do is they put all their pictures on Flickr, and then the ones that get the most compliments, they'll post like two or three of those onto 500 picks.
Yeah, yeah. So, so Flickr's more kind of like that sort of prosumer, like someone who's got a DSLR or one of those.
I think the highest, the most used camera on Flickr is still the iPhone 4.
Yeah, well, Instagram's like for iPhone 4, right? It's for smartphone pictures.
Yeah.
Is there anything else on Instagram that isn't like a smartphone picture?
No, I mean, people are dicky and they take like a photo on a DSLR and
oh, I see that happen all the time. Or people scan film and then upload it. Yeah. Oh, dude, I'm not even joking. I mean, there are like fashion photographers who just use Instagram for like the community aspect of it.
Yeah.
They don't use the filters, any of that crap. They scan like slide film and upload it to Instagram.
Huh.
Isn't that kind of cheating?
I think it's only a matter of time, though, before Instagram lets you upload from the web, because they've already got this new like web profile stuff. And the reason they cut off Twitter stuff is they want people going to the website, because you have profiles now and you can follow people. And because they're owned by Facebook, think about it. Facebook's got to monetize this somehow. So Facebook will probably put ads in there somewhere, at least ads on the website. And so they want people to go to the website, and eventually, who knows, they might let people upload, and it'll become the next Flickr or something like that.
That's actually a really good...
I think it's going to be the other way around. Facebook is deep. You know, they're looking at mobile. I mean, they want to transition over from the web into mobile. That's what they're terrified about.
I agree with you. I just think it's weird that Instagram's doing all this web stuff right now, if that's true. I feel like maybe they're trying to do both. I don't know.
Yeah, there was two guys, right? And they for the first year or two, they were just on their own, and they would, you know, I think they were running as fast as they could to keep up with the growth of the iPhone. And, you know, now they've got a big team and they're integrating it. Facebook is coming from the desktop world, so it makes sense to integrate, desktop capabilities into it. But I don't think that's the future of it at all. And this is why, you know, Twitter and Flickr adding, you know, things like filters. I think they see the success of Instagram. They think, oh, it's filters, you know, but it never was. It's really about sharing.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about all the web stuff they built. And I think you made some interesting points, Alex, because one of the things I actually didn't like about Instagram before was how mobile focused it was, and how if you wanted to use it, you had to be on your phone. Because I like using my phone when I'm on the go. But for leaving comments and that type of thing, or looking at other people's pictures, I really like going to the web. And I really like having an Instagram web profile. What was that like?
Right. Well, it's maturing as well. And the other thing is, I saw a talk, Kevin Systrom gave a talk a couple of months ago, and he was saying that Sandy was probably one of the biggest events that was covered by ordinary, you know, citizen journalism events in history. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had, I can't remember what number he said, but millions and millions of pictures through Instagram of Sandy damage, you know, the storm coming in, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it, you know, kind of goes into a bit of a black hole, right? If you know, on Instagram proper, but if they have add a web interface, then that stuff starts to become accessible to
the wider digital world. Time Magazine's cover was an Instagram shot.
Yeah, they.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
They're like all the big papers.
Instagram.
Yeah. All of the big papers and magazines are having the reporters go out in the field with iPhones and shoot with Instagram. And they've got like, there was a gallery on, I think, the Times that was all Instagram photos from Sandy, and they were fantastic. Because, you know, the 5 camera is just about as good as any, you know, point and shoot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's the future.
The future. Great.
You know what's in my future? My lunch. Come on, let's get going.
Yeah, you don't deserve lunch. You already went to the gym and started working out without us.
I know. I'm totally starving. All I can think about is stuffing my face.
Just eating a hoagie. Okay, well, let's wrap up with this. You can go stuff your face with a crumpet and perhaps a banger and some mash. So Time Magazine, the technology lover's Bible, has voted the iPhone 5 the best gadget of 2012. You know, we heard a lot of hate on the iPhone 5 when it first came out. What do you guys think? Best gadget of the year?
It's hard to think of anything that was really amazing this year, though, as far as gadgets go.
The iPad Mini, right? Could have been a contender.
I think so, yeah.
The screen was a disappointment.
I think the Retina MacBook Pro is a fantastic gadget. I think it's definitely up there.
I think that's probably one of the best ones. There's other websites that had like the Surface or
the Surface was number 7 on the list.
That's stupid.
And I'm like, okay, did they
that list kind of lost credibility?
Yeah, did they use the Surface? Okay, you know
for
what?
More than 5 minutes?
Yeah. That thing's great. Do you want to use it? Oh no, that's fine. We just need to write about it for Time Magazine.
We just thought it looks cool.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. Oh my gosh, touch keyboard. You know, honestly, I'm sure there are people out there that love the Surface, but having played with one for...
They don't listen to this show. They better not.
Well, actually, shout out to my friend, Paul Goad, who's a listener, and he likes the Surface. More power to him. He also works for...
Let's get him on and talk to him next week. And
I don't know if he works on Surface stuff, but he's a big Microsoft guy, and he actually works for Microsoft. So we should get some Microsoft people on here. Yeah, that's a great point.
Does he know Bombdog personally?
I believe so, yes. I believe him and the Bombdog are water polo. They're on the same water polo team.
That's amazing.
So just a couple other gadgets that were on Time's list. As we mentioned, the Surface, the 5.5-inch Samsung Flablet, a.k.a. Galaxy Note 2. That was number 8. I'm dead serious. The 15-inch MacBook Retina MacBook Pro made it on.
Was the Lytro on there at all?
I didn't see the Lytro on there, but I'm not looking at the whole list, so it's possible that it could have made it on. And then the final one I wanted to mention, the Nest, the smart thermostat from Tony Fadell. Any words to mention on Tony Fadell, Leander? I know that you like him.
Yeah, no, he was at the same conference giving a talk about that, and... you know, he's probably one of the few people in the entire consumer electronics world that has really learned the lesson of Apple, I think, which is that there's not just the hardware, but all the software and the services. So, you know, most of the magic of the Nest is actually in the cloud and the server end processing that they're doing. And he mentioned a couple of things like they have a great market of Nests, you know, just like they do with the iPhone. You know, when the Nest came out, it was hard to get. You couldn't. You know, it ran out. You know, they didn't have enough supplies to keep everyone happy, and they found that people were buying them here and sending them overseas, and so it popped up. He said, like I think in 63 different countries, mm-hmm. and they could tell this from the IP addresses, and you know, these are sort of anyway. So they contacted those people somehow. I guess when they registered, they got their email addresses. They got contacted them and started asking them about, you know, local. Who should they be partnering with? Do they know? You know, what kind of stores should they be in? Where do people go shopping in the Netherlands to go buy thermostats and using it, you know, to gather intelligence, which I thought was clever. But he's also hinting that they've got a whole bunch of new of gadgets that are going to be coming out for the home.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So you know, they've got a big. A lot of money behind them, and a lot of Silicon Valley sort of, you know, A-list investors have invested in the company, and they've got a pretty big, they've got a pretty big engineering team. They've got a bunch of AI guys from Google.
They have robots working for them?
Maybe. Androids.
Wow. You know, like,
I think, you know, home automation, robotics, that kind of stuff, you know, isn't too far. He said that we didn't build a big team like this just to make a thermostat.
Oh, interesting. Tony Fadell is a really smart guy too. If you're interested in hearing, he did a interview with Kevin Rose on an episode of Foundation, which is Kevin Rose's Google podcast, I guess.
Yeah, it was great.
Tony Fadell, I mean, he's just a really smart guy. And like you said, Leander, he has really learned a lot from working at Apple. And it's clear that he's absorbed a lot of Apple's philosophies and methodologies for building stuff. But hey, that's it, guys. That's all the time we have for today. You could probably very easily get me to go off on a tangent and keep me talking. But we should probably wrap up the show. I want to thank everyone who's listening for downloading the Cultcast over a million times. That is so crazy and makes me a little aroused. And I want to thank iTunes for picking us unofficially and not mentioning it, but as the best podcast of 2012 that they're not going to talk about.
We're going to have to fix that. But yeah, you know, you've got a buddy over there, right?
I mean, I've got a bestie. I got to email him and be like, hey,
why don't we start a million? You know, why don't we get a million listeners to send an outrage notes to Apple? To
yeah,
Tim
there
Cook?
You go. I don't know if we have that type of power. I am going to text Tim Cook and let him know how upset I am about this, and he'll be like, I'm gonna get right on that, y'all. My favorite show of 2012. He's probably has a big turkey wing in his hand. But hey, that's it. That's all the time we have for today, guys. If you want us to probe your thoughts on Apple, make sure to leave a comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecultcast. And hey, the conversation continues on Twitter. You should see the lovely things Buster and I say to each other there. He is at Buster, that's BST3R. Leander is L Kaney, K-A-H-N-E-Y. Alex is Alex E. Heath. I'm at Airfon, E-R-F-O-N. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, make sure you follow Cult of Mac on Twitter. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear in any year, all week long, too. And new episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. We will catch you guys next week. And hey, by the way, we'll be doing a mega faves and rays of all of our favorite stuff of the year. So make sure you catch that one. We'll see you next time. I love going micro machines on that.
Yeah,
see how fast I can say it?
You're a total pro.
Well, I was trained by the best.
Welcome to the Cultcast, like
wow. My friend says when I do the beginning that I sound like Mrs. Doubtfire. Hello! When she's got the lemon meringue on her face.
I'm about to see The Hobbit tonight, and then I'm going to be
Oh, really you are?
Yeah.
You know, I have to say, I am a little leery of The Hobbit. It looks like it's going to be not great.
It looks like it's going to be Star Wars Episode 1.
You guys are...
No. I don't think it's going to be that bad. I just don't. I mean, Alex, are you expecting it to be?
I'm not expecting it to be like the best movie ever, but I don't think it's gonna suck.
I don't think it's gonna suck either.
I mean, the problem when you do something this epic of a franchise is that it's never gonna meet everyone's expectations ever.
But the original trilogy did though. I mean, that's like one of the best.
Well, the only reason I have full faith in Peter Jackson. The only reason I think this could do badly is that Warner Bros. Is trying to milk him with three movies, and I think he strung it out too much. And all the reviews are saying that it's way too long because Warner Bros. Is like, hey, we need to do a trilogy, more money, keep pumping out Hobbit movies. And I think if you'd have just done one and kept it condensed, it would probably be better.
Right.
Oh boy. Hey, dude, Alex,
what?
Tell me a little bit about friggin' Aliens.
Yeah, is this going to happen?
I thought it was already out.
No, it's like a project, right, Alex?
Yeah, it's a project.
But how come we saw the poster already? Or the?
It's a labor of love. Oh, the promo shots?
Yeah.
That's the one sheet to get people excited, right?
Yeah, that's people to go, wow, look at that guy. He wields a weapon.
I want to donate to this cause.
So Alex, yeah,
it doesn't really help that we have the dwarf from Game of Thrones doing our promo videos, but it's all right.
Can you give me a synopsis on what your short movie is going to be about, and specifically
it's not a short movie, it's a feature, but
give us the scoop here. Imagine you're on E! Entertainment and I'm interviewing you. I'll be your Ryan Seacrest. Tell me about
Aliens. Basically, the world is going to be taken over by aliens, and I have to rescue the love of my life.
Was that the babe with the guns?
Actually, I don't know. No, she's not that character. She's in it, but she's a different character.
Okay.
And I have to rescue her from the aliens, and in turn destroy them, and. It's like a mockumentary, so think kind of like The Office meets Zombieland.
So, like, is there any, like, on-screen promiscuity going on there, Alex?
I mean,
between the aliens, of course.
Oh, no. There's no alien sexual relations, unfortunately.
Between the aliens themselves or you and the aliens, neither?
I wanted to see Alex and the aliens.
I thought this was going to be your first nude scene.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, man.
No. But yeah, it's got the potential to be like the worst thing ever, or just kind of like a cult type thing that's just kind of really bad, but people still like it.
Like,
I mean, so you know it's gonna be bad. But
I mean, there's
any kind of bad or like the terrible bad.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I know it's going to be bad, but I'm hoping that it's the comedic kind of bad and not the really just truly terrible kind of bad.
Like Rocky Horror Picture Show bad.
Well, yeah, kind of minus the trans.
Wait, so this just keeps getting worse. You're not going to be nude, and you're not going to be a transsexual in this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was hoping for like Alex and tights and shit.
Right. No.
I thought you'd be dressing up like Frankfurter because you said aliens.
I do get to, I think I wield a machete.
Well, that's cool. And yeah. When are you recording? When are you finding time to record this film? Because you're so busy writing and doing podcasts. This film.
Gosh, you really know the lingo, Irfan. No, we're going to be shooting after the holidays, so like after New Year's we'll start.
Oh, you haven't even started recording it yet?
Would you this isn't a freaking radio show. We shoot things here. This isn't recording.
You haven't even started videotaping yet?
I hate you.
When are you gonna videotape your movie? Hey, you know what? Don't be a hater, dude. I'm trying to plug movie.
Okay, listen
to our 100 listeners.
Well, the problem is that we've plugged it when the Indiegogo campaign is done, so they can't donate anymore. Oh. So I would say fans go to Indiegogo.com/friggin'aliens and pledge allegiance to the mission.
But our listeners can at least go to that URL.
They can at least check it out. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's friggin', FRIGGIN.
Right. Why did you guys go with friggin' instead of like, you know, something with a little bit more pep?
Like,
yeah.
Hey,
I mean, this swear jar show, but like,
no, I think no. It's because it's like the mockumentary, and my character has like a problem with cussing. Like, he tries to do it, but he's so mild mannered that it's like he's like this office guy. He's just really boring, yeah. And so I think there's literally a line where I go. I'm like it's this really dramatic moment, and I pull a gun on the back of an alien's head, and I go, "Eat lead, mother farmer."
Mother farmer. Oh no, you did not say that to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I for one am excited to see Friggin' Aliens video recorded by Alex E. Heath.
I'm not recording anything with my video camera.
Hey Dad, can I borrow our video camera? I'm making a movie.
Gosh.
So dude, what do I call it? How should I say it? Producing a feature film. When do you start producing your feature film?
Shooting. It's just shooting. We're shooting after New Year's.
Excellent. So, you heard it here first, folks. Yeah. Friggin' aliens in theaters, not near you.